Sylvester down a little bit so we can hear ourselves.
And we are Three Guys On. Shout out to Mr. Thompson out of Shy City. Said in honor of gays being allowed to marry, you knew what we had to do. You already knew. You already knew. You make us feel mighty real. You already knew. Philippe, we were discussing before we started, do gay people have a theme song? You do now. Randolph has spoken.
Is this gonna be the wedding song?
Randolph has spoken.
But you think they would? I mean, they have the flag, and I've never heard of a song or anything like that. I still can't hear myself.
You can't hear yourself at all?
No, I can't.
You cannot?
Didn't you just hear yourself?
I can hear the music, but I can't.
Hold on. You hear the music, but you can't hear
Let
yourself.
Let me turn you up because your voice is quiet. How about now?
Yeah, there you go. That's
yeah, it's
there
huge.
We go.
That was you. That was your quiet, sexy, quiet storm voice.
Nah, but you turned the volume up. That's
not quiet like storm.
I had to turn your gain up. That's what I did. Your gain went up.
Turn my headphones up.
I have no gain. No gain
now
whatsoever.
You're good. You got good gain.
No gains.
Go.
No gains, bro.
Bleep went from no gain to good gain.
I got a lot of gain now.
Gains, yeah. Bro.
All about the gain.
I might have to turn you down. That's how much gain you have going for you right now.
Ooh, I feel. I don't know how this song doesn't make you want to just jump around. I run a boot camp. I'll start the ladies off with this.
Yeah.
Do they appreciate it?
I put them through a 5-minute run usually to start. I'll just have them run around.
They run with their hands in the air.
as soon as this beat starts, hands go up. And then one of the ladies for some reason goes, woo!
You dancing in the middle, they're running
of
in a circle.
Course I am. I'm dancing around, I'm dancing, I'm pointing at them.
You just have a hula hoop for some reason.
I'm pointing at them, I'm dancing.
I just realized why Philippe's mic was so low. I had it set to Haywood.
Oh.
He was here last week. I had the third mic.
You gotta
Haywood
take
has his own
down.
Notch, yeah.
Yeah. He's got his own mark on the board.
He's very loud.
It says Haywood.
His voice carries.
His own mark.
You were on the Haywood's mic setting.
Yeah.
No, you got to. I'm not nearly as loud as Haywood is.
No.
No.
I didn't have to turn you up to Romaine level. Romaine has the quietest voice.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to bring Romaine up.
You got to turn Romaine way up.
Yeah. Listen, people, I guess you all have heard there's been some changes to our society. Gay marriage.
You know, we went from flaming gay people to flaming pastors.
Yes, yeah.
They're going to set themselves on fire now.
There's all sorts of good stuff on Facebook that I've been reading.
Yeah.
Confederate flag. Looks
flaming
like it's on its way out. About to get the flaming.
Well, it's not really. It's not.
President said nigga.
Well, he didn't say it with the A at the end.
No, he said nigger.
Right.
No, he went the full. He went the whole
went
nine.
The full. He put the hard stamp on it. Shout out to Mark Maron, holding it down. Big, great look for podcasts. Just podcast, period.
Podcasts are mighty real.
Yeah.
Right now.
Are you guys going to get Obama? He's down the street.
We turned him down. We were the first choice.
We were like, listen.
It's, not progressive
it's,
enough.
It's Biden or nothing for us.
Yeah.
Biden, we're the landing place for Joe Biden.
And then Biden came and it was boring as shit, so we never
boring.
Put it up. We never posted it.
He just got drunk and passed out. It was weird, man. He just got drunk, passed out. just talking shit. Fuck Hillary Clinton, it's me in 16.
Should have played the song at the beginning. He would have been dancing around and shit.
Yeah. You know, did you see the tweet his wife put up?
No, about what?
Joe is running around the mansion with a rainbow flag tied around his neck.
That's probably
is he
true.
Naked?
When I read it, I was like, of course he is.
He's got to be naked.
Of course he is.
Yeah. She wasn't making that up.
At the minimum, he was topless.
That was some real shit that was going on.
Did she say running around the mansion?
The vice president has his own little quarters. Thing. You know, he doesn't stay in the other wing of the White House. They'll put him in a shack out back, you know. Yay, he's celebrating. Shout out. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to people who can get married now. If I see one more stupid joke, you know the joke too.
Can I get married to celery sticks now?
The
couple that was using that as an excuse not to get married.
That joke well, they have every, now they can be just as upset as we are.
That's an old, Chris Rock
God,
did that
that's
bit.
Such a dumb joke. That's at this point,
10 years old at least.
It's like hack now. Everybody keeps doing it.
Yeah. Also the,
that was in Scalia's dissent. He said something along those lines.
Yeah.
When you get married, you can't say whatever you want.
Yeah,
that's not exactly what he wrote. That was basically.
Right. You have less freedom when you get married. So why do people want less freedom? So I'm doing them a favor.
They have the right to be as miserable as everyone else.
Also, the there's a lot of the same joke about. I can't wait to see all the gay divorces.
Oh yeah,
fabulous divorces.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Well, I put that one up. What did I put? I said 7 to 9. My first tweet was, I'm about to get invited to a bunch of fabulous weddings.
Right.
So, which is obviously going to happen. Send a shout out to the three guys on if you want us to come to your fabulous wedding.
I won't go.
We MC.
I'm going to object on moral grounds. Or I just don't like weddings.
And I said,
weddings.
And.
Andy still has his Confederate
flag. And then a little while later, I put up the tweet, and in 7 to 9 years from now, there will be a lot of fabulous divorces. Running the stats. That's just running the stats.
You don't get invited to divorces, though.
No.
I feel like if you went to the wedding, there should be a ceremony for the divorce,
too. You should get to come to the divorce.
You should be able to go to like the estate sale or whatever they do to split up all their shit.
Prenuptial agreements, that's now a thing for, I guess, gay people now.
Yeah.
That's a thing for people. That's a thing for marriages. It's
for
not gay or nothing. That's just a thing for
marriages.
That's
just because it's a business contract.
Yeah.
That's really all it is. But, you know, the fight is not over. Because there are a few states that are like, we're just not going to issue any marriage licenses to anybody.
They're going
to
secede from the union.
Yeah. Well, just go across the board. You can get married next state over. So they're just going to lose business is what's going to happen. You know, because you can go anywhere and get married. So people are still resisting.
Of course.
They have to get used to the idea. They have to come out of their closet, so to speak.
Were there any non-hack gay jokes made? I'm trying to think if there were any.
I'm sure there were.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the reason why... We don't really know them off the top of our heads because they're not hack. You know all the hack bits. You know all the hack bits.
Poor Sylvester. He died in 1988.
Yes, he did. The monster got him
didn't
early.
Get to see,
the monster.
Didn't get to see the ruling.
Yeah, the Sylvester? Monster got him. The guy who sang that song, Mighty Real.
Yeah, he died of
disco.
Freddie Mercury.
December 16th, 1988, at the age of 41.
Yeah, monster got him.
Oh, okay, get this. I got this Wikipedia up. All right. This is Sylvester's final days. For Thanksgiving 1988, his family came over to spend the holiday with him, by which time he was becoming increasingly bedridden and relying on morphine to ease the pain. He proceeded to die in his bed on December 16th, 1988, age of 41. Sylvester had already planned his own funeral, insisting that he be dressed in a red kimono and placed in an open-top coffin for the mourners to see, with his friend Yvette Flunder doing the corpse's makeup.
Well...
He wanted Gene Tracy to sing at his funeral, accompanied by choirs and many flowers. The whole affair took place in his church, the Love Center. That's the name of his church.
Gay all the way to the
end. The Love Center, with a sermon being provided by Reverend Walter Hawkins. The event was packed with standing room only, and the coffin was subsequently taken and buried at his family's plot. So he had sort of a fabulous funeral.
Yeah, he went out.
That sounds pretty good. Red kimono.
You hire your own makeup artist? Yeah. Like, hey, listen, after I die, like, can you do that thing you did that one time?
Yeah, I can do it again.
Yeah, it's cool.
I'm going to be crying the whole time. I don't care. Just do it.
Yeah.
Actually, I just watched Dallas Buyers Club this past weekend, running it from the library.
Yay.
Is it good?
Yay.
It was good. Yeah, Matthew McConaughey won. I think he won the Academy Award.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime you lose, like,
you lose 50 pounds.
Yeah. You're going to win something. You know, it's like, oh, he's so dedicated. Except
Jared Leto was good in that movie. You didn't even think
he was very good
him.
In that movie.
That's what I heard.
50 Cent lost a bunch of weight for a movie, and people were like, well, we're not going to give any award for this shit.
No, don't work for black guys.
50? I don't think it's because he's a black guy. I think it's because he's a horrible actor.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
I can't recall the black actor who's lost a lot of weight for a role. Like a sickly role? I don't think we get those kind of roles.
The sickly role? I don't know. I mean,
you're
I don't think we get those roles.
How many white actors have done that?
How many? There's been a bunch. There's been a lot.
Well, Tom Hanks wasn't sickly, but in Castaway, he lost a bunch.
No, but he lost a lot of weight for Philadelphia.
He lost weight for Philadelphia.
Christian Bale
lost a lot of weight. DiCaprio has lost weight for parts.
Oh, yeah.
But not for sickly roles. He just lost weight because he gets out. He gets a dad bod.
He had that prison. He had that prison role where he was in prison. Man in the Iron Mask.
He lost weight for that?
You got to look like you've been in prison and not eating. You know.
Tom Hanks has diabetes because of all the weight fluctuations.
I can believe it.
That's what he said. He was like, I got the diabetes.
How do you get diabetes from that?
Because I think it just puts a strain on your
I don't think anybody black has got black people don't get those roles.
The sickly role?
I think do you want those roles?
Yeah, that's the role that you do to try to get some Oscar.
Will Smith has never had something like that?
No.
No, you can do the sickly role.
He has too many choices.
He purposely doesn't do those type of roles.
Yeah.
Which was to me, it's a decision that's coming back now to bite him in the ass. Early on in his career, him and his agent sat down and said, we're going to do these type of movies. We're going to do the summer blockbuster.
Yeah.
It's going to involve something sci-fi.
You're
going to
get $100 million.
Action and humor, you know.
Right.
So he kind of, they looked at those type of things. Now he wants to be seen as more of a serious people are like, get the fuck out of here with that.
He doesn't have romantic interests either.
That's Hollywood. That's not really him.
Really?
Yeah.
Why doesn't, you would think, I mean, he's pretty sexy.
We've talked about that.
Oh, really?
Because they don't want black men being in leads.
Banging white
it's
women.
Sexy. Yeah, like in that movie Hitch, it was supposed to be Cameron Diaz. Him and Cameron Diaz and Hitch, they kill that. The Hollywood studio killed that.
And even in that movie, they barely...
plugged that girl in
Eva Mendes.
They even barely... That wasn't even like...
Yeah, he was
that wasn't an
banging,
on-screen
he was
romance.
Yeah, he was
supposed
to be banging her out.
Yeah.
You know, if it had been a white dude, you know...
There would have been noises.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably
yeah, small, it was supposed like, to be Cameron Diaz. And
little
they,
dome pick.
They,
little
and I'm not making this shit up, by the way, people. If you say, oh, there goes Millicent Randolph again. No, it's like that's
so
a real
you guys you're gonna fight you want the, you're fighting for the emaciated black man.
No, well, what you're fighting for is to be seen
no
as
slave,
a fully,
like
as
roots,
a fully
roots.
Viewed human being, and that's what you're fighting for.
Yeah,
is to be seen to be able to be every to be every everything to be allowed to be
well,
every
yeah,
part.
50 Cent.
Yeah, and this is the only one. This is the only one I could
what
think of.
What did he lose? What
I
did
think
he lose
was,
weight
I think
for?
His character had cancer or something.
His character had cancer or something like that. He's the only one I could think of. And God knows he's not a good actor.
And then you've got the other Oscar bait role, which is the mentally challenged.
Mentally challenged. Never seen a black guy do that one.
About radio.
Radio, yeah.
Radio,
yeah.
Right?
Was that his try? Was that his try for it? Possibly.
Yeah.
I guess so.
It wasn't that good of a movie.
But he got an Oscar for Jerry Maguire, though.
He
well, he got an Oscar for acting like a nigga.
Well, no, but I'm saying he didn't have to go for the Oscar.
Yeah, he is Oscar winning, yeah.
So I don't know, because there's been I can't think of a role like that either.
And he had disappeared. Lou Gossett talked about that. You're
there's
a black actor,
a
you get an Oscar,
it
don't open up nothing for you.
There's not a lot of those skinny lose a whole lot of weight roles anyway.
Not a lot.
Not
maybe one
many.
A year.
And also, it's for drug addicts,
prison camping,
and there's not
or,
a like
it's illness, Holocaust. So that's a big lose weight,
right?
One.
Yeah.
Prison,
I was thinking
Holocaust.
Slavery, but you don't really lose weight for slavery.
Not
you gain,
really.
You might gain muscle or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, you got to, you know, that's Jamie Foxx talked about that when they did Django.
Yeah.
How his trainer made him basically pick up pails of hay and shit like that because you want to look like.
Oh, yeah.
You want to have the look of.
Cock diesel.
Like, yeah. Yeah, basically just prison muscles is what you want. No gym muscles. We need prison muscles.
So, if there was a role that needed a really skinny black man, what would it be? What would be?
Well, you could do the life story of Sylvester.
Yeah,
he
could.
Because he was a heavy guy, and then he got the monster
shrank
and
down.
Lost a lot of weight.
Yeah,
you know?
So you could do. But then you got to have a black actor that's willing to go
to be gay.
Gay.
Tay Diggs. He's in Hedwig and the Angry Inch right now. My wife is going to see him. I just saw his picture of him with the makeup on. That's a Broadway play for those who don't know.
Tay Diggs.
About a transsexual who has during a surgery, he gets nipped off and it's only an inch long.
Oh.
Tay Diggs is playing the lead.
So,
but that's Broadway, so I don't know if that really counts or not.
Probably not. Yeah, yeah, I don't know who'd be the good. I mean,
who would be
Taye Diggs would be the one.
Just Taye Diggs.
Say. Well, only because he wouldn't have anything in his head about, oh, it's a black man, I can't do this. Like Jamie Foxx is not going
to
do that.
I could see who's the guy in 12 Years a Slave. What's his real name? I don't know how to
Chiwetel?
Say it. Yeah, he could do that. I feel like he would be down for
he
it.
He played a gay character. There's a movie on HBO all the time right now.
Yeah, he did, didn't
he? He's pretty much the only actor in the movie.
You know who did that shocked the shit out of everybody and nobody black could have anything to say was Wesley Snipes in To Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything. Julie Newmar.
Gay.
Yeah, it was
him. He was a cross-dresser.
Dressed as a woman and Noxzema, I think was his name.
What was the last movie Wesley Snipes was in?
Oh,
is he still working?
He's been on a lot of surveillance videos.
He was in the last Expendables. He just got out of prison. He was supposed to be in all of them, but he went to prison.
Was it tax evasion?
Yeah. So they put Terry Crews into place. And then when he got out of prison, they plugged him back in.
Terry Crews would do it if he's willing to lose all that weight.
He's not.
His body is his life.
He loves his body.
Yeah, that dude ain't losing no weight.
He loves this.
Works
shit
hard
out of his
as
body.
Shit to get there. Yeah. Him and Michael Strahan. They work hard as shit on their body. Michael Strahan was talking shit about dad bods because my wife was like, you need to watch this. I was like, yeah, he's right.
I talk shit about him too.
Basically, Strahan was like, motherfucker dad bod, basically.
This is all those fat dudes moments.
That's all it is.
It's this moment in time. They're like, yeah, fat people guy. Think
all it's about
now.
Is women not feeling pressure to lose weight.
Insecure women.
That's all it is. Well, my man is fat.
I want to be the pretty one.
The article that sparked the whole thing was the woman saying, I like it because he sort of makes me feel attractive.
She was like 20. She was a 20-year-old college girl.
Yeah. It was for her own self-esteem.
Yeah.
Because she wanted to
like to be the pretty one.
You want to be outshined. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm cute.
Also, there's no pressure for her.
I don't get enough attention.
Yeah, because what's he going to do? Tell her to lose weight?
I want to be fat.
Although dudes do that. Fat dudes will tell their girlfriends to lose weight. Like,
in a second, man.
What the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah, in a second.
Hey, pass the wings and lose some weight.
Tell you something. If you ain't trying, fat boy, you ain't got no room to try to tell anybody any goddamn thing.
You just do it like you do it on the sly. Like, hey, could you maybe get a role as a sickly person in a movie? Maybe you could try that. Have you tried acting? Maybe you should do that and become like an AIDS patient. You know, you'd be hot. Totally hot. Like when I first met you.
You know who gained 100 pounds was De Niro.
What do you do that for?
Raging
Just
Bull.
Just because?
Oh, Raging
yeah.
Bull.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because between fights, he blew up.
He would blow up in between fights, and then after his career, he blew way up.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I think Denzel had to gain not muscle, but just fat for Training Day. Was that the one that he had to gain just kind of be fat?
He gained weight for something.
He looked heavier, but I've never seen him fat.
No. I thought there was a movie. Maybe it was John Q that he had to look more like
more
a dad.
Schlubby.
Look, have a dad bod.
Yeah.
Plus Denzel boxes regularly. Yeah. You know, he's in the gym regularly. So that's why when you see him in like the movie like Hurricane, he's fucking ripped.
I like
in that.
That movie.
He's fucking ripped in that shit. Good book. Ripped in that shit.
It's one of my favorite movies.
Hurricane and even like the Book of Eli.
Never saw that.
Oh, it was just on the other day where he beat down a whole bar.
A lot of special effects in that movie.
Basically, the fight scenes are just him. He trained with this guy, guy who trained for Jason Bourne. He trained with him.
Oh yeah.
So the fight scenes are just him fighting. You know, saying scary ass scriptures. You have an email?
We do have an email.
Let's hear it.
This is. I've read it already. I read it yesterday when it came in. And this is actually something that I believe we've talked about on the podcast. I know I've talked about it off the podcast. We got an email from Dominique.
Hey, what's happening? Oh, I saw
Hello,
your tweet
Dominique.
The other night. Yeah.
Dominique, the title of the email is A Question from Black Romance Writers.
Okay.
First of all, fist bumps all around the 3GO and whoever is in studio with you guys.
Yay!
It's Philippe.
Thank you.
Philippe.
See, some people commit and say, hey, what's up, Tim? And we're like, no, he's not here. So just, the third person, whoever. I was on vacay at the beach last week and much enjoyed catching up. Related, I'm throwing away all of the peanut butter in my house. And I don't even own a dog. What in all the fucks? The peanut butter's delicious. Why would you throw away your peanut butter?
I started getting almond butter. Man, that stuff is good.
Is it good?
Oh, man.
Never
it's
had
expensive.
It. Yeah, I know.
I made a mistake buying it because it's fucking good. It's so good.
Have you tried the chocolate peanut butter?
No, I don't do it. Too much chocolate kind of gives me a headache.
It's a
sugar.
Kind of subtle. It's actually not as chocolatey as I had hoped, but it's...
That's good. That's good then.
You don't have a lot of sugar in your diet. That's why too much chocolate... Sugar.
I'm not trying to have sugar. Yeah.
I know.
Broccoli and black coffee. That's all I eat.
He's got amazing farts. Yeah.
Smell, they smell pretty good.
Dominique says, so here's a question that I hope will spark a spirited discussion, not only on the podcast, but in commentary. The question pops up, rimshot, here and there in discussions with fellow authors. The question is, and I have actually talked about this before. I think we brought it up on the podcast once. What do black men call their junk? Now, here's what she says. When I read non-black romances, the word cock is used liberally. Sometimes dick.
Not for white dudes.
But non-black writers seem more comfortable using cock. Conversely, it wasn't until I started reading romances geared toward the black community that I saw the black writers use dick when characters are referring to themselves and in the text itself. So the question comes up often as to which word should be used. I argue that the writer's preference, but I also say that I have never met a black man that says cock.
Nope.
Other writers say different and that it varies depending on what area of the country a person lives in. 3GO, please discuss this issue. A ruling for me and my fellow black romance writers. Dick or cock? Now.
Yeah. Does she write romance
yes.
novels?
Yes. She's starting now.
White people say cock. Black people say dick. We've
Andy
talked
and I
about
have
this.
Both talked about it on stage. We both talked about it on stage.
Yeah. Now, white people will go cross over to dick sometimes.
Mm. Suck my dick.
Right? I almost never hear a black person say cock.
It's just not
I go
a
about
50-50,
which is about my skin color.
You're Egyptian,
so that makes sense.
Yeah. And by the way, we are keeping the African-American standards up here at the podcast.
Half African-American.
Yeah. Yeah. Philippe is Egyptian.
You're from Egyptia.
Egyptia. We changed our flag, so it's...
Egyptia. That is in Africa. Yeah, I used to do that, but I might... throw that bit
we've
out
talked
tonight.
About it off stage and on
and
the
on
podcast.
Stage. Yeah, we've talked
and
about
on stage.
It and on stage. We've all talked about
it's,
it.
It's a clear
it's,
line
it's
in the sand.
It's not a word that we use.
Cock.
I remember that. The joke I used to do is I remember the first time a girl threw it at me, and you end up repeating it back to her because it sounds weird. You want to suck my cock?
Yeah.
And I was like, ugh. Okay.
It sounds weird.
Okay.
It's a douchey white thing to say.
I do feel like I just say dick. I do, because Dominique
quote.
Says she's just run into this recently. I feel like a lot of people have not noticed that.
Yeah.
I've noticed it.
Well, we
noticed
it because we kind of listen.
But I do think that white people are more willing to go and say dick, you know, from time to time. But cock is the word.
Yeah.
Cock
is
the one.
Yeah.
I feel like cock implies it's trying to make it seem a little bigger.
It is.
It's a little stronger.
It's a stronger word.
Yeah.
That's like when Eddie Murphy used to do that bit about, you know, brothers don't measure their dicks. Just, shit's big. And that's just, you measure your dick? Nah, just, shit's big. I can see that
it's big. Big dick. I don't need a ruler.
Hey, man.
It's like you can tell when people are tall. It's like you don't got to go measure it.
Yeah. So he's tall.
That's a big dude.
He might have a big dick, but I got a huge cock.
Yeah, it's like you see whenever you see dudes like who are wearing like really tight shirts to show off their muscles, like you ain't really that muscular because like a fucking big dude, Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't walk around with them tight ass shirts on.
Well, he doesn't own Under Armour.
He doesn't wear that shit. He's just fucking big. He's just a fucking big guy. You know, I guess it's the same thing.
I bet he says cock. I think he says cock.
Cock.
I think he's a cock.
You want to suck my cock? Get down.
Go down.
Get down on my cock. It's my shitty Arnold impression.
We should poll. You know what? We should have a running poll anytime
black people don't say cock.
I'm not saying that.
I don't even need a poll.
But I think some white people like Fleep are.
I say dick, probably mostly.
Both. But I think.
I'm thinking about it.
Anytime we have a guest on, that should be one of the standard questions.
What do you call it? We can do that.
What do you call it?
What do you call
it? And
your
also,
penis?
I mean, that the other thing is. For women, black women or white women, how do they refer to it? Do they have a preference?
I wonder that. That's a good question.
I don't know. I think...
they probably just prefer that you don't say it at all.
I don't think women saying cock.
Don't say anything.
I think across the board, women don't say cock.
Unless you're in a porno. So.
Cock is a white man's word.
Women, you know what? Women will say penis in a second.
Pee-pee.
You know?
I think girls say dick, like the girls that I date. I think they'll just say... if they refer to it, they'll just say dick.
They don't go cock.
Well, also, I think girls have to be situational.
Yeah,
like
if they're getting
in the bedroom, it's gonna be some heaviness to that word.
Yeah.
Put your dick, you know, that kind of shit. But it stops being your, becomes yo. Put your dick in me, you know.
And also,
I date mostly white women, so they don't say yo.
Place
does your wife say
dick?
Yo?
Yeah, it's Y E R.
We've been together for a long time.
Put your dick in
yo, dick.
Get your dick over here. Come on. Bring that big old dick over here. Hey, Felipe.
She says it just like that.
That's what she sounds like.
Andy, you've been in the room with us?
Let me get a taste of Egyptia with your big old dick. Your big old ding dong. Bring it on over her.
Over her.
Over her.
Over her.
Suddenly, Felipe is not hard at all.
Suddenly, that's a good one.
I'm
going with white people just strictly across the board say cock, black people say dick.
I think white men. I think women is different. But I do think for a woman, if she's going to grit her teeth and say, you know, it's hard to say cock while gritting your teeth, just to forming the word.
I feel like the women will go to where the guy is.
Yeah.
Meet him halfway.
What the guy says, because especially if it's in the bedroom. They're gonna pander to what you want.
Now, what you don't want though is like your doctor saying cock.
No.
I measure your cock.
No one needs
it. Got to take a gander at it.
Take a physical. Like, I'm gonna have to check out
your
cock.
No one needs that. Your
cock
has a bunch of bumps on it. Can you take your cock out for me for a second?
I'm sorry.
What did you say, doc? I said you take your cock out.
What do male gynecologists call vaginas? Do they just go with vagina, snatch, pussy,
twat?
Sausage wallet.
Out of their mouth they say vagina, but in their head, they're like, oh, I got to look at like, what, 10 more cooches today?
I
bet you sometimes as a gynecologist, like on his drive home, like 5 hours after the appointment, and it pops in his head, holy shit, I called it a pussy. Oh, man, I didn't catch that until just now. It just pops in his head. Oh, man, I called it a pussy. I'm in trouble, man.
One time I was giving this girl a... you know the parkour at the beginning?
Parkour?
Where you give the woman the parkour, you get all their information.
Parkour? What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, you put them on the scale, you get all the information. The thing, are you healthy? What are your measurements?
Oh, what is that called?
Parkour.
Parkour?
Yeah, it's like the thing.
I don't know. I thought parkour was freestyle running.
That's what I thought when you said it.
There's a thing that you write down all the information.
Okay.
Parkour. Okay.
So I put her on the thing to get her weight, and I was doing the calipers.
Yeah.
And you know, you got to get the thigh right here.
Oh, okay.
And she had sweats on.
Sweatpants.
And I was like, I can't get a good reading right here. She was like, oh, I'll take my pants down. I don't mind. It didn't occur to me.
Like you're a doctor.
Till later. And, you know, she pulled me down. She had on pink.
Yeah.
Like pink lace panties. And I got this. And then later on, I was like, I was just in an office with a bitch in her underwear. Jesus, what the fuck am I thinking about? What the fuck am I thinking about?
It's dangerous.
Yeah. He made me take my pants off. What? What?
That's why I got to ask. You got to call a woman in there, a third party.
Yeah. Hey, can you come in here and just stand?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, because I was just running down the body. I was doing it real quick. Could you do the back of the arm?
Yeah.
And you do the stomach, and you do the thigh.
She could even say something like, he touched my underwear.
Yeah. Yeah.
He brushed against me.
I didn't want to, but I took off my pants.
I took off my pants. You know,
I've never done parkour.
He started breathing heavy.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, go ahead. And you got to do all that and get a good grip and get the skin to loosen up. And I'm sitting there smacking her on her thigh. And
he spanked me.
And then she freestyle runs out of there.
Yeah.
she did a backflip off your cock.
And it wasn't until later, as I was doing some other stuff with her, I was like, holy shit, I was in there with her fucking pants down. Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Was she white?
The fuck? Yo, yeah, of course.
Mm. Oh, she wanted your cock.
Mm-mm-mm. Young Jewish girl. Young Jewish girl.
Oh, she's not going to touch your cock.
No.
No. No, or your dick, for that matter.
Young Jewish girl.
Neither one.
Young Jewish girl.
And Asians say dong.
Has to dong.
Asians say dong.
Ding.
That's just when they're ordering food. Isn't that on the menu?
Shout out to Gershwin Wynn. He's lost 25 pounds and sent me some bourbon.
Yay, Gershwin.
As well as buying Blue Magic. Gershwin out of Richmond. He sent me his workout. I tweaked it for him. He's been doing what I sent him to do. I guess I'm going to have to tweak him another one because he's about done with this one. It's been about 8 weeks, so it's time to give him another one.
I got
to
revise it.
Yeah.
He better buy Blue Magic again.
I know. He did send me some Makers. And
Well, that's good.
That's like barter, trade,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, send me a thing of Makers and a thing of another bourbon that's really good. Send me two little bottles of bourbon, which I have been sucking on, making them last I write. So shout out to him and anybody else. You want a little help? Reach out to me. I'll help you a little bit. Just buy a copy of Blue Magic, and I've already started thinking, Andy, about recording another one.
Okay.
I need to put myself back on the clock.
Green Magic?
Blue Magic 2. Bluer and Magicker.
Bluer Magic.
Bluer and Magicker.
Magicler.
Magicker. That's what we're going to call that one. So I'm going to put myself on the clock at some point, and we're going to do it because, like you said, it's been about a year. What I should have done immediately was put myself back on the clock for another year.
Only if you want to be on the once-a-year plan, which I think is – that seems to be in vogue.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's the best for every comic to do that. You know, I think even the ones who do it, Louis has obviously had a lot of success with it. Mm-hmm. Although his last couple, he's waited a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Aziz, I think, shouldn't. In my opinion, he tries to do one a year, but his fucking Bill Burr is like 18 months to 2 years, like, and it's great quality.
I'm about at 18 months now.
Yeah, well, that's what
whatever
saying,
the quality is. If it takes you 2 years and it's quality, then you
should
do
the 2 years.
Clock
thing. Like a lot of people are pushing themselves because Louis is doing
what
that,
I found,
was doing that, not even is doing that.
What I have found is that by pushing myself, it makes me
you write
do
more
stuff.
Yeah.
Because if I don't give myself a clock, I just won't do it.
Right.
So what was the first? Was it a half hour, the first Blue Magic?
No,
50.
So it was going to be a new 50?
A new headline set, which is 45 to an hour.
Okay.
For me, a headline set is 45 to an hour right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to get it up to an hour 15 would be a headline set. But right now, today, a headline set for me is 45 to an hour. And I'd like it to be an hour to an hour 15. Now, I could make it an hour to an hour 15, but I'd be doing older material that I don't even do anymore.
Yeah.
Like
well,
the herpes joke. I haven't done that joke. I don't even think I did that joke on Blue Magic.
Yeah, you did.
Did I do it on Blue Magic?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I haven't done it since then. And that's been over a year. So that one's gone.
Well, those commercials don't really run anymore.
Yeah, I know. So a lot of
it's not in the moment.
A lot of those jokes are just gone.
Well, you got a lot. There's a lot of new stuff to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of that, let's talk about
what are we going to talk about.
We're going to ease in. We're going to start off. We'll go in order. So Barack Obama said nigger.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he did?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nigger.
Mm-hmm.
Starting to start shit. Barack.
On Maron's podcast. Like I said, first of all, shout out to Mark Maron for I like interviewing people. I'm a talky guy. He is a lot of what I would like to do like that. Mm-hmm. I like the way he does that. I like the way he carries himself in interviews. I like when things get contentious. He's not afraid of letting things be contentious. He's good at it. He's really good at it. He's really good at starting people down the road of talking and then getting out of their way.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to pull up the audio of Obama saying it so we can...
So he had the president in the garage.
How he said it is part of the...
Yeah.
So who started that? Was it Fox News who kind
of
came out? Were they the first that were kind of like...
I hadn't even heard it up to that point. I was just floating around on Twitter. I was like, oh, he said what? That'll be... And as soon as they said that, I was like, oh, he must have. They were obviously talking about something. Let me put it to you this way. The first thing I thought when listening to it, I was like, oh, me and Andy have had this conversation a jillion times. We've had this.
They're just
the exact same conversation on Three Guys On.
They're just fishing for outrage. They're trying to get people to talk about it like we're talking about it right now.
Because it's not just Fox. It's fucking like this is a CNN report. Like,
it is taboo, at least for most people, especially the president of the United States. But President Obama went there on comedian Mark Maron.
Did you hear the way that bitch said
there.
That?
What world does this woman live in? Like, how? And she doesn't think this. She's reading the fucking teleprompter, but still,
they're
they have to couch
it
in
it.
Like,
yeah.
Most people can't, meaning white people, can't say it, but he went there.
And I've often wondered when they read those teleprompters, it's like, don't you at some point just go, wait a second, I'm not reading that. Well, who wrote that?
No, it's
don't
the,
you just
it's the
do
Ron
that?
Burgundy thing. You're just locked
you just,
in.
Just lock in.
No, you're thinking about your grocery shopping later.
Yeah.
You're not even in the moment. You're just read it, whatever.
That's very true.
Podcast WTF, that's what it's called.
That's what it's called.
It's got fucking the title, guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was making a point about racism still existing in the United States, and the president used language that many consider offensive.
The legacy of slavery.
Just stop that right
Jim
there for
Crow.
A second before we start this. His fucking voice on the radio. It's fucking butter.
Welcome to his voice. He's quiet storming it.
Butter.
His voice. It should be like
fucking butter.
A thunderstorm sound effect.
This motherfucker. I'm going to talk about him a little more at length later, but right now, I'm just put that out there. This motherfucker's voice.
He's sexy.
Is fucking butter.
Hey, girl. Why don't you suck my cock? A dick. I'm half. I can say both.
I can say both.
Hey, girl.
I'm going to say both.
Discrimination in almost every institution of our lives. You know, that casts a long shadow. And that's still part of our DNA. That's passed on. We're not cured of it.
Racism.
We are not cured of.
Clearly.
And it's not just a matter of, it not being polite to say nigger in public.
This is hilarious. This is what gets me. This is a CNN report. I'm watching the video of it, right? They're airing this clip while showing the transcript on the screen with like a picture of Obama on the side. On the transcript on screen, it says N followed by asterisks.
Asterisk.
But they just played the word. Yeah. You could hear it. So people who are just reading this don't even get the full effect.
It not being polite to say nigger in public, that's not the measure of whether racism still exists or not.
Okay, so that's...
It's not just a matter of it not being polite to say nigger in public.
Okay, that's the line. Now,
it is interesting how his statement, why he said it, and the point that he was making like directly is in opposition to what the newscasters are doing. They're saying, oh, what he's saying is offensive, but he's saying, oh, it's not even about me saying this.
Well, his point...
So they're completely missing what he was saying in many ways.
It's an interesting point in a context, in the context of other things,
yeah.
Right? And meaning it's just a symbol. It's just a symbol. It's not emblematic of something where you take the word away and it takes the thing away. Just like the Confederate flag, you take the flag down, everyone's like, what a victory. That doesn't mean there's no hate groups anymore or no race. It's kind of the point that it played out with the flag thing.
Yeah.
Just later on, you know, like that the same week, basically. But he was saying, just because you can't say this or you don't say this word doesn't mean there's no racism. And then people start jumping, oh, how can he say this word? That's racist. Like, did you hear what he fucking said?
That's the whole point, yeah.
You just made the point for him.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What an insensitive word. Like, his whole point was you take the insensitive word away, there's still insensitive actions in the country's DNA. That's the whole idea he was getting at. People...
They completely just missed that. They just want to...
Right over their heads. So then it was just like, oh my God, did he really say that... And then Fox and Friends jumps on it, and Steve Doocy and all these people, and Elizabeth Hasselbeck is like, is he going to say it to Congress?
Yeah. Oh.
That'd be hilarious, actually.
Yeah. I'm worried. I'm worried he's going to say it during the State of the Union address. Why are you worried about that? Wouldn't you have done that by now?
You couldn't even get impeached by that. What would even happen? Nothing would happen.
The point that he made, you made it for him. You made the exact point of what he made. It was just...
Yeah. That's such an ugly word, and that word means racism. His whole point was, no, that word doesn't mean racism.
It's irrelevant.
Just because you don't say it in public doesn't mean there's no racism.
I said it on stage at Science Club, and a little girl in the audience said, so the president said nigger the other day. Let's talk about it. This girl goes, no.
It's a white girl?
I said, yeah. I said, why don't you want to talk about it?
Because it makes you uncomfortable, little girl, little white girl.
Well, he was just saying it in context. I said, "Yeah, no, that's what we're going to talk about." Well, I don't want to. We don't want to talk about it. I said, "Oh, you speak for the whole audience now?"
Yes.
Why don't you want to talk about it?
The 19-year-old.
I said, the whole reason why he said it was so that we would talk about it. That was why he said it.
What did she say after that?
Nothing. I said, "Well, I'm going to talk about it. So here we go."
And then she.
She just sat there quietly.
No, she just sat there. Did she laugh?
Quietly.
What about your other
The whole
jokes?
Audience just sat there quietly because they don't know what to do.
Right.
They don't know where I'm going to go, what I'm going to say.
Well,
they're scared.
Yeah.
They're scared out of their minds.
Well, that's why you're there. That is a crowd of the average age is 24.
Yeah, at Science Club. They're scared
And that's
out
why
their
you're
mind.
There. That is your purpose for being there is to deliver that.
Yeah.
Your analysis, whatever it is. That's the reason they're there.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of them watching a comedian is to learn something.
They're fucking petrified.
It's like, no, you shouldn't fucking say no. You should sit there and listen.
Sit there and listen because it's disturbing to your worldview. Even though you call yourself this liberal fucking person, it's disturbing to your worldview.
Or she might have just been done with it, too. Like she just didn't feel like hearing
it. No, it didn't come out.
No, because if she's there, she has to...
It didn't come like that.
You're there to listen to stuff like that, so...
Yeah, it didn't come out. It didn't come out of her head like that. Plus, I was the only comic that talked about it.
She wants to escape from the world's problems.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Like, well, that was the point of what he was trying to make. Again, you're making the point he's trying to make. You know, right. I just liked all the dumbass arguments. The big one was, well, he disgraced the office of the presidency. I'm like, you're talking about the office that slaveholders held, that office?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not even, when I hear people say that, I don't even see that as a real argument. It's just.
It's not.
It's the outrage. I'm trying to generate the whole outrage thing. I was like, I don't even see that as a real, you don't actually think that.
Yeah, it's not an argument.
It's not an argument.
And then they dredged up Lyndon Johnson and Richard Nixon saying the shit, just and not in the fun way.
See, that's interesting.
They
stuff.
Weren't saying it publicly though.
Oh, there you go.
You know, that's really what they were getting at. Like, he said it completely out loud in public.
I thought about a long time as why people get mad and why let's say certain people were getting upset. It's because he has power, and people don't like when black men particularly have power. And that's power for him to sit on Mark Maron's podcast, say this, and the whole country talks about it. And now I can make you have a discussion like that girl said, I don't want to talk about it. Well, he wanted us to talk about it. That's why he said it. Barack Obama's not a dumb man. You think he didn't know he was when he said that?
That's why he's on Maron's podcast to
say stuff like that. He's not a dumb man.
That kind of podcast.
He's a very smart, calculating man. You think he's not? He thinks about the shit he says. He doesn't go off half-cocked.
No, because what if he says it to Congress?
Yeah, well, of course.
What if he's so dumb?
You're talking about the dude where a guy jumped up and shouted, you lie at him. If there was ever a moment to say it, it was going to be right then when that guy jumped up. You lie! Nigga, I'm about to come off this motherfucking find this podium and put my foot dead in your ass. That would have been the moment.
Not very presidential.
That would have been the moment.
President, in quotes.
I think I just burned a joke right there. Oh, fuck. Yeah. I'm going to say it anyway again tonight.
Well, so what? No one's listening tonight to the podcast.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to say it again tonight. We're recording on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's the moment right there. If he's going to do something like that. So and when somebody jumps up and shouts at you and you don't say it then?
Right.
You know, kind of restraint. That's why I knew right there, I can never be president. I can never be president. If it's required for me not to react to something like that, I can't be president.
Well, he's at the point where he doesn't have to fight people.
Exactly.
He's just one point of the finger.
Yeah.
Not even that. He like has a look in his eye. They get him.
Yeah.
Also, the whole premise that he put forth that just because you don't say that word in public doesn't mean there's no racism. People still say it all the time. So he was just kind of giving a scenario there. But just read the comment section on any article about him.
Yeah.
And you'll see that word thrown around constantly.
Yeah.
So
we're
not even at that point.
Yeah.
To judge is racism dead because that word is dead. That word's never going to die. So. He was just putting forth a scenario where people say, we're not supposed to say it, but it doesn't mean racism's dead. Yeah, what's he talking about? He's saying the N-word. And then look at all the comments calling him the N. That's different than using it and saying it. So, anyway. But
Brock's a cool dude is basically what we're getting at with a sexy
voice.
He's
pretty cool.
Butter, man.
He's pretty cool.
The dude is butter, you know. And then this happened
Obama.
And then he sings Amazing Grace.
On the heels of Charleston. So Charleston happens, which we didn't get a chance to talk about it.
We did it a little bit last week, didn't we?
Did we talk about it a little bit last week or didn't it happen?
No, we did.
A little bit.
We did. No, we did.
With Haywood. Haywood was on last week.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, we talked because we talked about the Confederate flag. We talked a lot about it.
Yeah. So then he has the, it comes on the heels of that. And it's amazing how fast things are shifting. Well, people say, you know, everybody wants to take the flag down now. Or they want to act like racism is over. I'm saying, first of all, no one black. Ta-Nehisi Coates put on Twitter today. He was like, just because black people are saying to take the flag down, nobody black is saying, okay, now we can stop. No one black is saying that.
Right.
So that's not like this. We understand it doesn't come to the end, but symbols matter.
The flag.
They just do.
The flag is only being taken down from the state buildings.
Yeah.
You can still put it on your truck.
Yeah, you can put it on your truck.
I mean, you can fly it in your yard.
Yeah.
Private property.
It's
not being banned the way the Nazi flag is banned.
Which, by the way, it should have been. It should have been.
Yeah.
I have no problem saying that. And anybody wants to get in my face about it, fine. I'll tell you right to your face. It should have been.
It's the same thing.
Fucking banned. It's the same thing.
It's the exact same thing.
What are you talking about? Well, it's Southern pride. No, it was an enemy nation who tried to fight the United States and fucking lost.
But we don't ban the flag. I mean, it's more than that. We don't ban the flags of every country we fought.
We ban the flags of Nazis?
We don't.
We don't. No, but
is
if you
not been, I feel like
not in
I
US.
Think that, if you would put that a Nazi hate though, if it,
put
if somebody
a Nazi
put that
flag up,
is it just kind of banned
it'll draw
under
attention.
Other laws?
It'll draw. You can wear a Nazi armband. It'll draw attention.
Here's yeah. the thing. Here's the thing.
But it's not illegal.
When after the war in Germany, it was so egregious to the Germans that now it's banned.
Yeah.
I feel the exact same way about the Confederate
It's
flag.
The same situation.
It's the exact same thing. It should have been banned. It should have been. End of story. I don't see how it couldn't have. Well, I see how.
Because
we in this country, we're the only country that allowed the losers to write the last paragraph, to write the last narrative. We allowed the losers of the war to write the last narrative. No one allows that. You don't allow the losers to raise statues to losing generals or tell me, I heard a guy say, well, the general was, he was a military genius. I think it was Sarah Palin was talking that
Robert
shit.
E. Lee.
Robert
yeah,
E. Lee.
He was a military genius.
He was
genius.
Known as
widely considered as a genius.
Yeah, and he lost.
And he has, there's a high school down the street from here that's
yeah.
still named
yeah,
after
him. Yeah, there was high schools, yeah. in, high schools in Texas named after him. Like, you named your high school after a general who fought to keep people enslaved. That's what you did.
Not only that, but I've read books
yeah.
talking about his personality, saying that he, though, you know, you don't know how much of it is true, but they try to make it look like that he, they say, oh, he wasn't even with the South. He was just kind of doing, he was just
region.
With his,
yeah.
he was just playing his role, but he wasn't really
I've
for
heard
slavery.
That
yeah, I've heard that.
He's
but
a nice guy.
You're still like the leading general for the army that's fighting for slavery. You can't, even if you're playing your role, quote
yeah.
unquote, you can't
was,
say that
because
he's
say?
Directly fighting yeah. for it.
They
he's
say
the number one person.
He was conflicted. He wasn't ideologically in line with
no,
slavery,
he
but he was a proud Virginian and he was going to fight for his state, et cetera, et cetera.
I don't see that because any strong man would not take that role then.
He was conflicted, man. He was
see,
so conflicted.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
He was so conflicted.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
But so that descendants of him and the people in the South will feel better about themselves. It's a lie.
It was really hard to see.
Actions speak louder than words.
It's
it was
lie.
Really hard.
That's a lie. That's like
hard.
When people say, well, it's about states' rights. See, that's a lie to make yourself feel better about your ancestors who fought to keep my ancestors in chains. That's a lie.
But he thought hard about it. He thought long and hard about it.
His diary says
he didn't come
there's
to that
a
decision
page in his diary that
easily.
Says,
I saw a guy when they said, when Sarah Palin said, Marshall Warfield was talking shit about Sarah Palin. And if, by the way, I've said before, if you don't follow
Marshall.
Are we
going to talk
Marshall,
about Bristol?
Of course.
We got a whole,
that's probably Thursday. We got a whole shit to talk about her.
A podcast.
Shit to talk about her. Don't worry.
Let's talk about Bristol.
Marshall Warfield was talking about that on her. If you don't follow her on Facebook, I don't know what you're doing with yourself because she brings the shit out. This guy was saying how they had one of the greatest armies, and I put, they lost. I just put that comment in, they lost.
Right.
Then he comes with this long diatribe. He was like, well, they were outgunned and outmanned, and they just, the North, I was like, yeah, and they lost.
They lost.
I was like, yeah, and they lost. They lost. But he was one of the greatest
You'll
military
get medals
minds.
For valor.
I'm like, yeah, no, they lost. And then I stopped. What I could have kept going is there are many instances down through histories of military men who are very much outgunned and outmanned and still win the battle. You want to know just one right off the bat? 1776, the Revolutionary War. General Cornwallis was supposed to be the greatest military mind on earth. The British Army was way bigger than the American militia. We didn't even have an army at that point. We weren't really America, and we won. I say we. There was no black people fighting. But
Well,
you know,
probably a couple.
Couple here, a couple there.
Yeah.
And we won. If you have a better, more tactical mind, you win.
Well, look, if you're studying military strategy, I could see studying Robert E. Lee's decisions and moves.
Yeah.
You know, people who go to film school will study Birth of a Nation because
yes.
as a piece of filmmaking, it was ahead
yes.
of its time. Obviously, the message of the movie is ridiculous, but... On that, but how many of these people are military tacticians?
They're not.
That are shouting out Robert E. Lee. They don't really care.
I happen to know a military tactician who went to battle college, and he has nothing but contempt for Robert E. Lee.
Right.
He has nothing but contempt for him. He said the same thing. He's like, yeah, he's He was pretty smart. That's all you keep saying.
Of course, he was the general.
He was pretty smart.
You would think he would be smart.
Put it this way. If he wasn't in charge...
You would hope so.
If he wasn't in charge of the South, the war would have been over a lot earlier.
Yeah.
So he did probably get some victories in there that he shouldn't have, and he did maybe prolong the war because of it.
Yeah.
And he lost ultimately, but it was an uphill battle the whole way. But, and in addition to that, he... fought to preserve the system of slavery.
Well, and
I think he owned slaves. And he was one of those guys that was like conflicted about it, like
because he was good to his slaves.
It's an evil. It's necessary though. You know,
He was good to his slaves.
Well, he was a nice guy.
Because slavery was good.
He was a nice guy.
It's good.
It's good. It's not the worst thing.
It's good.
Not the worst thing.
It's good. Good.
It's like if he was so progressive, I mean, you could have gone to the Union side.
Yeah.
That was an option.
I think they asked.
Could have commanded that. Yeah, well, he went to the military academy with the other generals on the other side.
So it's the entire Union side, and then, all right, he's the most progressive of the Red side. You're right. Still under 60%, like, on the scale.
You got to understand, he was a proud Virginian.
Yeah.
All right, it's all about Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's rather side with Virginia.
Guess what? You lost. Well,
and also, you have a high school named after him.
He was in Northern Virginia. We're basically the North.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're right across from Maryland.
My cat told me that Arlington Cemetery, that was his land.
That's his house.
They took it. They were like, fuck you, buddy.
Really?
Took it from him.
The big house at Arlington Cemetery, that's Robert E. Lee's old house. And the land was taken. That was his land. And then they didn't know what to do with it for a long time. It was used for various things, and at some point it was turned into Arlington National Cemetery. That's Robert E. Lee's.
Is he buried there?
I don't know. I can look it up, find out.
Is he a disgraced? There are, like in Alexandria, there are separate plots for Confederate soldiers, I guess, because they didn't want to put them in Arlington Cemetery.
I think he might have been buried there because I think people who were buried there before
he's buried at his other family's home. I asked that question. Okay. Where is he buried? I'm like, no, he's buried at his family's home. Because they're afraid of people doing shit to
Lexington, Virginia.
Doing shit to the body, you know. So he got married in his great Virginia.
Because there are people who were buried on that land before it was Arlington National Cemetery. And then they get to stay, obviously. Not going to move them out, but I guess he's not one of them.
There you go, Andy. Aaron Johnson reaching out to us. A picture I just posted. I just saw the comment you put up, Aaron. I'm letting Andy look at it right now.
How the fuck do I get on this live? Well, that's a good question.
We don't know, man.
The thing is, we always record at a different time.
Yeah.
And on different days. So
what we would have to
regular.
Do is, once we started going live, I would just have to put up on my Facebook, we're recording now. You've got basically 2 hours.
And we're also in situations where we don't always have the best internet.
Internet, stuff
access,
like that.
So...
Aaron Johnson, after I put pictures up, Aaron Johnson asked us, how does he want to get in? Basically, how do we get callers in, I guess?
Listen live. Well, you can do comments on.
Have you guys done that? Have you ever considered doing the draft house?
We've considered everything.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. It's just how to do it technically is the problem.
Get the
technical side.
Do it on the draft house stage.
You know, the technical size of it. Off mic.
Off mic.
And then... And then gay marriage. Well, first, healthcare,
which got dominated by gay marriage
and
after
then gay
that,
marriage right. after that, you know, which was nice. And then
well, the
gay
healthcare,
marriage.
I mean, anytime there's a Supreme Court decision, half the fun is just reading the dissenting opinion.
Oh, fantastic.
Like, really? How are you a fucking judge?
Do we have Clarence Thomas's on both healthcare and on...
How does Clarence, like, what?
He shouldn't be a judge.
What? Like, how?
He's insane, dude. He shouldn't be a judge. He shouldn't be anything involving any type of authority.
Who appointed him?
Bush.
Which one?
Dad.
The first one.
Bush won.
Dad. He shouldn't be a judge. He literally shouldn't
what's
be a judge.
His, like,
He's
what's
insane.
His background? I'd love to just,
he,
like.
Well, first of all, he doesn't think his law degree is worth anything because. He in his mind got into college on affirmative action, so his law degree isn't worth it much.
I think
he has said
he
that.
He says that. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think Clarence that. Thomas says cock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you know what I'm saying.
I think he has a
he's
tiny
a,
cock.
He's a cock
too.
Man.
He says cock. He doesn't say dick.
Yeah. He has said that affirmative action, that means, you know, it's not worth as much because people have helped you get your degree. I'm like, well, then you shouldn't be a Supreme Court justice.
Some of this stuff almost seems that he hates black people.
He does.
I've some of the dissents I've
He's very bootstrappy.
He does.
Yeah.
He grew up, man, through his tale, he grew up in the South, the tale of Clarence Thomas. He grew up in the South. He was dark-complected. He felt like black people looked down on him because he was dark-complected, as well as white people looking down on him, blah, blah, blah. He was a smart kid. He got out and got to school.
Of course, yeah.
But he only got to school through affirmative action in his mind, so his degree doesn't count for anything. I'm like, well, hey, jackass, affirmative action worked exactly how it was supposed to work, apparently.
Helped you out.
Apparently, it worked literally exactly how it was supposed to work. It's supposed to find people and help them advance themselves. And it did. And you took it all the way to the Supreme Court, and now it's not any good? Are you fucking crazy?
It's a principled argument.
Yeah.
And he's saying that despite my experience with it,
yeah,
the principle of it is it shouldn't exist.
Well, guess what? Then you need to resign your judgeship and go sit in a corner somewhere.
Yeah, so why do you lean so much on the conservative side?
Well, because I think he feels that his accomplishments are his own,
yeah,
and not anyone's help. So he's not going to acknowledge that.
Which is against what he said. Yeah. So
because once he got to school, he still had to get good grades and still had to excel and exceed expectations and rise to the top of his field and et cetera, et cetera. Like, just because he got it to school, that didn't do everything for him. That's his whole point. So nothing should be done for anyone in a situation like his in the future.
Yeah, he's a clown. He's a clown. And if you hear his dissents, oh, God.
Which are hilarious. Which they do. I'm sure they do write with a comedic intent.
So there was a ruling about the Fair Housing Act of 1968 where they tweaked it a little bit. And he said Clarence Thomas's dissent, in which he argued that racial disparities alone are not a good way to measure discrimination. He pointed out that the National Basketball Association is mostly black, yet it's not considered racist. Here's his quote. Racial imbalances do not always disfavor minorities. And in our own country for roughly a quarter century now, over 70% of the National Basketball Association players have been black. That's his proof.
That's his proof.
This man
is a Supreme Court justice.
What about coaches and owners?
This man is a Supreme Court justice. What about him, Andy?
Isn't basketball like merit-based?
Yes.
Like, you know, it's not really about like, I mean, you know, you just, whoever's
all
better.
All sports are merit-based.
Whoever's better just plays, regardless of what you look like.
All sports are better. Guess what? Just so happens that 70% of the people who go in just happen to be black and be better.
Right.
That's how it goes.
Look, there's still some cocks in the NBA.
There are some cocks,
mostly
but a lot
dicks.
Of dick.
Mostly
a lot
dick
of
in the
big,
NBA.
Big, big dick.
Yeah, I think he was...
big, huge dick.
His argument after that, I think, was so the white players in the NBA can sue if something goes down.
Well, his point was that if you only
He's like,
look
they
at,
should be able to. That's what he was
if
saying.
If you only look at racial statistics, you can't use that only as a measure for discrimination.
Yeah.
I get where he's going with that. His analogy is stupid. That's the like.
It is stupid. It's not. It's not correct because housing.
It's not a correct
different
thing. And in housing, you can just look at somebody's name and say, "I'm not gonna give him money." Or you do what they do in New York, where you steer into neighborhoods. These are all well known tactics. So he's acting like these things don't happen, yet everybody knows they happen.
Right.
The question I would ask is, why do they keep happening if everybody knows they happen? That's the thing that always bothers me. Everybody knows these things happen, then they should stop happening, right?
That's just the way it is.
Exactly.
Nope. Some things will never change.
Exactly. That's what they'll say. That's exactly what they say.
Start playing Bruce Hornsby?
That's exactly what they say. You know, but in basketball, you just got to be able to jump higher and run faster. That's it. You're playing.
Well, it's sports.
Yeah, it's sports.
There's
That's it.
No one really cares what your name is.
Yeah, it's like no one sees a white person's name, and they're just like, nope, not athletic.
There are some athletes. Ha Ha Clinton Dix is a dude's name in the NFL.
Yeah.
He would probably have a lot of trouble getting jobs if he wasn't a good cornerback.
Yeah.
Imagine that name on a resume. Like, Ha Ha Clinton what?
Now, there have been positions in more so in football than in basketball because basketball is seen as a black sport. That's why basketball has never had a problem with coaching black coaches. Black GMs, they've never had a problem with that because basketball
owners are still
owners are owners. You got to have capital first.
They do have a couple.
Don't have that kind of capital right off hand.
There's a couple.
Jordan,
Who bought Magic. a team from another black owner.
Yeah, he bought it from Bob Johnson.
So
he's a billionaire.
That's also what's the approval process for being able to buy a team because you can't just
owners have to agree on you.
So that's racism in itself.
Well, they had Donald Sterling as an owner.
Yeah.
And they knew he did, speaking of lending practices, knew he did predatory lending practices.
Money first. Money first. Yeah. So if that's going to, if it's Donald Sterling's going to hurt them, they're going to take him out.
That's why he's
will never
got
change.
Gone.
That's just the way it is. This song is about this racism is America, in today's society.
It's America's song. Yeah.
This is, hey, Donald Sterling's an owner? Tough, man. It's tough. Some things will never change.
Yep, some things will never change.
Holy
so that
shit.
Was how, that was his healthcare dissent. Then we had the gay marriage, which, shout out, you make us feel mighty real. It went right down on party lines. Justice Kennedy shifted over. Basically, there's no reason to tell somebody that they can't get married. There's literally no reason other than
they tried.
Other than God doesn't want it. That's literally the only thing you've got.
God, and those were the arguments. So it's basically the religion argument.
That's
you're not going to be
you,
able to.
That's
argue.
All you can
so
argue.
I didn't read Thomas's dissent though. I read Scalia's because that was the main one. But
he's crazy too.
Scalia's dissent didn't make a lot of sense either.
He's an Italian white dude.
He's like an 80-year-old Italian dude who just doesn't give a fuck anymore.
It was like 10 kids.
Yeah. This is his theme song.
Well, that was his theme, yeah. And Clarence Thomas.
It's tradition, guys. The Mayans did it.
Yeah.
They had man and woman marriage.
Can you find Thomas's individual dissent?
Probably.
Well, I think we've got it here. Cite slavery. He cited slavery in his dissent against marriage equality.
Yeah, we got like some cherry-picked lines. Yeah. We don't have the whole thing.
So Thomas is religious, I'm guessing. Baptist?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. From the South. Yeah. Southern Baptist.
Where in the South is he from?
Married to a white woman.
Is he really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good for him.
White woman.
Okay, come on. Call it a cock. Come on, please. Come on. Just tonight.
I wonder if he wants her to call him the N-word.
Oh, that happens every night. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Do your Obama impression.
Isn't that the whole point?
Come
All right, Clarence
man.
Thomas cites slavery. Here he says, here's what he said. This is the passage. I haven't read the whole dissent. This is the passage that got all the publicity. Human dignity has long been understood in this country.
This
to
is
be,
the gay marriage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To okay. be innate. Because people said we don't have dignity and blah, 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 because we can't have all the same rights. Human dignity has long been understood in this country to be innate. When the framers proclaimed in the Declaration of Independence that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, they referred to a vision of mankind in which all humans are created in the image of God and therefore of inherent worth. That vision is the foundation upon which this nation was built. The corollary of that principle is that human dignity cannot be taken away by the government. Slaves did not lose their dignity any more than they lost their humanity because the government allowed them to be enslaved. Those held in internment camps did not lose their dignity because the government confined them, and those denied governmental benefits certainly do not lose their dignity because the government denies them those benefits. The government cannot be bestowed dignity, and it cannot take away dignity. He's really seizing on this word dignity.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, well, I mean...
I'm waiting to see where he goes, what conclusion he makes.
But the word dignity really doesn't have... It's just the word they use. It doesn't have much to do with whether gay people should be allowed to be married or not.
Yeah.
His whole point was, well, if your argument is that you don't have dignity, well, that's not a sufficient argument for the following reasons, which are ridiculous. But that still doesn't address whether gay people should get married or not. It's just one part of what they said. But he thinks that because the government can't give you dignity, they can't take it away. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Of course they can.
And by the way, they did. Those examples.
They were at the Draft House, guys.
Where the Draft House.
A lot of talk behind
children leaving.
There's a movie playing.
Must have been a kids movie going on.
Yeah.
Those examples that he gave are examples of people who lost humanity as well as dignity.
At the hands of the government.
At the hands of government.
Without government
intervention. And it was literally stripped from them. Hands, humanity, and dignity.
Right.
And he cites, what did he cite? The Declaration of Independence?
Yeah, all men are created equal.
Which, by the way, had nothing at all, wasn't even thought of as black people, weren't even thought of as human beings.
His entire argument is based on a statement in an old document that was illogical to begin with.
Right. Yes. And he's trying to add some
and
logic.
And he's trying to say, everybody just has dignity innately. Well, obviously, the people who wrote the Declaration of Independence didn't 100% believe that.
Not women, not definitely not black people. Women.
Keep going.
That was the whole passage.
Native Americans, Indians, Native Americans, not them.
But it's the whole thing that because I didn't give it to you, that doesn't mean I can't take it away. I mean, I didn't give you, let's say, your happiness, but I could take away your happiness
in a second.
I could do something to you or it's one of your family members.
Yeah.
You know, of course, dignity, happiness, all these kind of general concepts that aren't like tangible. Of course you can take that shit away from people. Happens all the time. So his the logic doesn't make any sense because I didn't give it to, because we didn't give it to you as a government. That doesn't mean we couldn't take it away. We didn't take away a slave's humanity and dignity.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, well, you took away everything else. How about that?
Yeah, like, everything.
He's definitely arguing from his own experiences. Like, yeah, I, as a person, kept my dignity despite all the stuff that I went through. That's,
you know, it's funny. It's funny you should say that because I don't believe he did.
That's all.
Because he doesn't sound like somebody who carries himself with a level of dignity. Yeah. I think the dignity he carries himself with is not real.
You're probably right. And but that's precisely what he's getting at, though. It is somewhat of a narcissistic viewpoint.
Well, who would walk up to, like, let's say a modern example, a guy gets sent to prison for 3 years without trial, solitary for 2 of those years, he gets beat up by guards and other prisoners, comes out.
Just an example. That could never possibly happen, right?
And is suicidal and eventually kills himself.
That could never happen.
You can't walk up to that dude and be like, hey, man, look on the bright side. You still got your humanity.
Yeah.
Like, what does that even mean? Like, we didn't take that away. Like, you're gonna tell slaves to look at the silver lining?
Khalif Browder is the young boy's name.
Khalif Browder. But to try to find a silver lining and like, hey, look, you got to keep your songs.
Yeah.
We didn't make you stop singing your songs.
Yeah.
You know, we took everything else from you, but hey.
Stripped you as a human.
So what was the reason for him even saying that? Was it because gay marriage isn't going to give you dignity?
He was parsing their argument. Yeah. Yes. They were like, we don't have dignity.
That was part of Justice Kennedy was
God
like.
God gives you dignity.
Justice Kennedy was like, they should be allowed the same dignities and
that's the worst argument in the world because then you could do anything you want to strip people of anything and you're like, oh no, you still have your dignity.
Yeah.
You have a separate water fountain, but you still have your dignity.
That's exactly what he's saying.
Because
that's exactly what he's saying. I was like, that's the dumbest argument in the world.
The answer is, so what? Yeah. What if that's true? What if slaves still had their dignity? So what? What does that mean now? Where are we now?
You can rationalize anything.
Are they not? So the point was, we don't have the right to get married. He used the word dignity, and he cherry-picked that one word and was like, let me just fucking parse this word out and argue against this use of this word.
This man is a Supreme Court justice for the rest of his life,
right,
by the way.
So let's say he wins that argument. They still had their dignity. And? Yeah. We're talking about getting married here. Like, that's the whole point. So it doesn't matter. He was just trying to find something to hit back on. It's just petty, like, you know, just debate shit. I got to win this one.
Yeah. Why do they have lifetime appointments? What's the reason for that?
Play the music. Why do they have lifetime appointments? Why else would they have lifetime appointments?
Just curious, like, what's the argument?
I closed it out.
there's not a couple of reasons. That's why they have lifetime appointments.
Oh, this is the perfect verse. Let's listen to this. Oh, here we go. After this line.
That's why they have lifetime appointments.
Hey, old man, what makes you think you can talk that way?
That's just the way it is.
And
that's me hollering, by the way. Don't believe that. Don't accept that.
And then Antonin Scalia in his dissent was like, you know, this court is all like Yale and Harvard lawyers, mostly from New York and California. One person from the Midwest or the flyover states, no one from the West. And he said California doesn't count. He said that.
Because it's liberal, so therefore it doesn't.
But his whole point was this court doesn't represent America. Like, yeah, there's also no 20-year-olds. Yeah. Like, if you really, I mean, why are you stopping there with geography? There's no one in their 30s on the court.
There's no Eskimos, no Hawaiian, no Polynesians.
There's one black dude, couple women. You know, I don't know if there's any flaming homosexuals.
And by black, I'm like shaking my hand. Black.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but dude. Technically he's black, but he's only the second one ever.
Yeah, ever.
Right? So, he's like, hey, there's no one here from like the Midwest, and he just fucking rests his case. Well, if you're going to talk about the demographics of the court, there's a lot of people who aren't represented. Yeah, if there were a couple gay dudes on that court, or women, which there might allegedly might be one.
And then he goes into how he hates his marriage, essentially.
I'm only here because I hate being home. It's just the way it is. Some things will never change.
Well, now Ted Cruz is like, they should be voted on. They should be voted in and out. So now Ted Cruz wants to change everything.
But that's bullshit, too, because if the vote swung one vote the other way, he'd be like, I love the Supreme Court.
He'd be jumping up and down and running around with his dick out.
I love these appointed judges.
Yeah. That's just the way it is. little boy just stuck his head in, looked at me, and ran away in terror.
Luckily, we weren't yelling cock.
Yeah, well, I think at that point I did say run around with his dick out.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's why he stuck his whole head in here. Is there someone around with their
You're
dick?
Holding something that looks like a dick, so it might have been.
Next time he sticks his head in, I'm going to scream.
Mom, there's a naked black guy in the other room. It's holding his, it's holding his cock.
Because I guess when you dissent, when you vote.
Well, he was white, so.
When you vote no, you have to explain yourself.
I guess.
You can't just say, I mean.
And if you do, why do you have to explain yourself? There's only one reason why.
Well, no.
That's just the way it is.
There's always a dissenting opinion.
Yeah.
And sometimes multiple people write a dissent. So yeah. I guess it's up to them. It's probably their prerogative to write a dissent or not.
Well, they all wrote one.
They're trying. They were straining to come up with some argument that made sense legally, and they couldn't. So they just started talking about, well, but God, though, right? Like, yeah, totally.
That's the whole
God and
defense.
And Mayans. The Mayans who...
That's why you can't argue with people.
Who worship other gods?
They can just pull the God. Oh, God, you think you're better than God? You think you know better than God's rules? Well, then that's the end of the argument.
Yeah. Because
then you can't argue anymore.
You can't argue. Back, there's no point. Think about Barack Obama's day. That day. I put that tweet up. He went from gay marriage being legalized, which is something he's pushed for, by the way. Which I've always felt like from the minute he came into office was something that he was kind of planning.
Maybe he's gay.
How do we get this done?
Was he gay?
From that to going to speak at his friend's funeral.
Gay.
It's
the life of a president, man.
That's like when they said, you know, when Joe Biden came out and was like, yeah, we think gay marriage should be legal. And everybody was like, you think Barack Obama didn't know? Like, do you think that they didn't plan that? You think that, are you stupid? Are you that stupid?
What, him being against it and then being for it?
Yeah. Well, when Biden stood up, just kind of in passing, said it in a...
Right.
Well, Joe Biden's going to... He's going to be mad at Joe Biden. I'm like, he's not mad at Joe Biden, you fucking idiots.
Right.
He's a... If you want to talk about a tactician, a tactician is Barack Obama. Listen, Joe, I'm going to need you to say this. Just float it out there.
Yeah, you're crazy, Joe.
Don't defend it. Don't say anything. Just float it out there and walk away from the mic. Joe's like, yeah, I can do that. I can do that.
I guess Barack's a smart dude. You don't get to be the president without some sort of knowing how shit works.
A black president?
Yeah.
The first in history and just kind of fall ass backwards into it.
You got lucky.
Yeah, man, lucky. Lucky. That's why when that woman was heckling him and he kicked her out.
The White House thing?
Yeah, it was like some transgendered woman was heckling him at the White House. And, like, gay people were all jumping. I'm like, this guy's done more for gay people than any other president. So.
Did he say.
Calm it the fuck down.
I don't come down to your job and knock the dick out of your dick area.
Kick the dick off you. I don't knock
the dick off your dick. You don't see me doing. I don't come to your job.
Calm the fuck down, man. I think now his. You got to think, man. What other president has accomplished more than him? Aside from maybe Washington, who. Lincoln.
Well, FDR.
Got to the Civil War.
FDR.
FDR, yes.
That was a lot.
Kennedy, FDR had four terms.
Kennedy,
well, three and a little bit of
Roosevelt. Both Roosevelts did a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few. I mean, Lincoln.
Lincoln.
Did a lot.
Who has changed society? Lincoln. Washington.
Reagan.
I mean,
if you're talking about change.
Yeah, he did. He did hurt the gay population. I'll tell you that shit.
Hey man, they got AIDS.
Yeah.
So
fuck
Woodrow Wilson.
They don't have. They still have their dignity.
Didn't he
though.
Die in a bathtub, Woodrow Wilson?
Woodrow
Big
Wilson?
Fat dude.
No.
Woodrow's
no,
not fat.
Woodrow was skinny.
That's Taft.
Woodrow Wilson was Taft. There were a couple. You're never gonna see another fat president, but there were a few in the early
1900s. I think it was Taft. He was a porker.
Taft was fat. I think a couple other ones were chubby. Wilson was thin. He was very skinny.
He was during World War One.
He was a World War One guy. He was a Democrat and also an avowed racist.
Oh, of course.
And then, yeah, I think Taft was the fattest. He was the fattest
300
president.
Pounds.
Yeah. I think he died early, too, fat boy. Just, like, died of being fat.
Hey, he had his dignity.
He had a dad bod, and he had his dignity. Yeah, so, I mean, just the shit he's done over the course of his presidency, the shit he's been able to accomplish, if he just had not even half the Republicans, just a third of the Republicans had just been willing to listen to him, think about what else could have been done.
Right. Well, a lot of it would have been done sooner. Really, that's what it comes down to. It's like, oh, he only has 18 months left, You know, where was this 3 years ago? Well, stalemate. That's where it was.
Yeah.
It was gridlocked.
Yeah. And then you hear him. And then when he, look, when he was doing the eulogy, and he was like, Amazing Grace.
Hold on.
Amazing Grace. I said, I know this motherfucker ain't about to sing.
This is the moment.
I was like, this motherfucker, man. I swear to God.
This is the C-SPAN feed, which doesn't show the crowd reaction, but you see the people behind.
Oh, they show the crowd?
The crowd's reaction was the best part.
This feed, yeah. I can pull up a different one.
That was
one.
The best part.
The best part, Gregorio pointed it out to me. Shout out
the
to Gregorio.
The guy in the shades?
We took the shades off and like threw a shade.
He still looked like he was about to cry. I saw that dude the first time he stood up. Yeah,
yeah, he was about to cry. Yeah, here, I'll pull
like
one.
This motherfucker,
I'll pull
man.
One up that has the
belief in his man, in his president.
This has more of a lead up to
that
it.
That more than any particular policy.
Yeah, I was just listening. I was like, listen.
Dude in the shades, right he's now, clearly trying to sleep.
Yeah, he's trying not to nod off. What a friend of mine. You know, he's old and fat. He's probably up late the night before.
With the fat thing
again. Robinson calls.
I'm fat shaming.
That reservoir
that
of goodness
sleepy.
Beyond and of another kind.
He's back there like, this dude's not a very good speaker, man. I'm yawning back here.
Ordinary cause of things.
Overrated.
That reservoir of goodness.
Get on with it.
If we can find that grace.
Fuck, I'm tired.
Anything is possible.
I'm just watching. I was like, this is...
If we can tap that grace,
like, this is all right.
Everything can change.
Look at his face. His lips, his bottom lip is out, leaning.
Yeah, he's out.
sleepy leaning.
All right, here we go.
Amazing grace.
And that's when I was like, this motherfucker ain't about to. I know.
Amazing grace.
Oh, he said it again. He said
it again. Not about to.
Watch the tooth pop up.
Amazing.
That's just, can that guy laugh too? That's the same shit. This motherfucker.
He was like, as 100%, I love you.
He woke up immediately. Oh, he's a good speaker now.
That's the thing about being in a Barack, man.
The band kicks in.
I don't understand, people. You can hate on me. What? He is literally a magnificent human being.
You
he
know
is a
that
magnificent man.
That band, they were like all like off in the corner.
Well, that's
snacks.
What the band does.
Right? They were like,
black
oh
church.
Shit.
Yeah.
You don't expect that.
That's what
you're
the
not
band
ready for
does
that.
In the black church. Yeah, get in.
You're not ready for. They got run back to their instruments. For, oh shit!
Barack knows the moves, man. He knows all the moves. He knows the moves, and they're genuine. That's yeah. He's really righteous with them. And he knows all the moves, and they're genuine. So this motherfucker.
Clinton never sang in church.
Nope. It's funny, Clinton knows the moves, but you can't tell if they're genuine with him around black people. But he knows, Clinton knows the moves. They just don't, they're not the same when they come out of a black guy.
And just when you think it's over, he lists off all the names.
Oh, Jesus, that's the...
Flamena Pinckney found that grace.
Here it comes, this...
Cynthia Hurd found that grace.
Amen.
Susie Jackson found that grace.
Amen.
Ethel Lance found that grace.
Amen.
The Payne Middleton doctor found that grace.
Amen.
Tywanza Sanders found that grace.
Amen.
Daniel L. Simmons Sr. found that grace.
Amen.
Sharonda Coleman Singleton found that grace.
Amen.
Myra Thompson found that grace.
Amen.
Through the example of their lives. They've now passed it on to us. May we find ourselves worthy of that precious and extraordinary gift. As long as our lives endure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
May grace now lead them home.
Well, yeah.
May God continue to shed his grace on the United States of America.
Yeah. Amen. Jesus Christ.
I feel like if,
hey, YouTube fans, I'm
Luke shut Walker, up. I feel like if it wasn't genuine, he would have fucked up at least three of those names.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Those names were a little tricky. Couple Tywanza, that's not a name you hear all the time. He would have fucked up a couple of those names. The fact that he got them right tells you that he gave a shit.
He's righteous with it. He knows all the moves, and he's righteous with them, which is why the Mark Maron podcast came off so good. because he knows the moves and he's righteous with it.
It would hard to go on a podcast as intimate as that and to you wouldn't be able to lie your way through that.
No.
Yeah.
He was asking hard questions.
You can't lie your way through that moment.
No.
Up there. You know, and again, he has power, and there are large swaths of this country that don't like black men having that kind of power, and he has it.
We already gave you your dignity.
That's true.
Like, why do you want all this power now? You got your humanity and such.
That's true.
Know? And even such. Our document said you weren't humans.
That's true.
But God gave you the humanity. We tried to take it away.
Yeah, we tried to take it away.
But we couldn't, which is proof that we can't take away your humanity or dignity. It's the greatest love of all is happening to me. Can't take away my dignity.
It's inside.
All right, we got to wrap this up. We're at hour 20 on this.
Yeah, let's bring this one home.
We got nothing left to talk about for Thursday.
No, we didn't do any of...
We got Bristol Pale.
We got stuff. We didn't do the best lines from Scalia's, his defense.
We got the same topics.
So well, he has
we got
best lines. We'll do some of those.
We got some other stuff.
I don't think we have another email, so...
No.
Philippe will be sitting with us on Thursday. You want to give people your stuff so you can get at them? Did you go public yet as far as your social stuff? I know you got a Facebook. Do you have a Twitter feed too?
No, I don't got no Twitter. I only have a Twitter to yell at Blue Cross Blue Shield when they don't fucking listen to me.
Does it work?
Yeah, that actually works.
Really?
Yeah, because you try and call them and I try to make changes to my medical insurance. They won't do it. But if you tweet at them, I started tweeting at the board members of the Maryland Health Connection.
Really?
Yeah.
And they're like, we're
that
taking
works.
Your complaint seriously.
Let me tell you how fast they respond to you. I do have a Twitter, but all you're going to see is me yelling at.
Even though you have like no followers.
I have like 10 followers.
And they still respond to your tweets. Because you couldn't really shame them too much because you only have 10. Well, fuck it. I guess they don't know how Twitter works.
I mean, if you put their name in the tweets, doesn't it open it up to all their
No.
If they answer you, it definitely opens up
to
everybody.
If they answer you and put a period in front. But if they answer you and if you reply to someone and the person's Twitter name is the first thing in the reply, only those people see the conversation. Mm-hmm. But if you put the period in front, well, they're not going to do that when they reply to you, so that all their followers can see that you have a complaint. So, oh, whatever.
So, no. And I have a show. Well, I have a show this weekend, so no one's going to come when this airs.
Yeah,
so.
It's over.
It's over.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, well.
Andy, are we recording this specific ignorance show?
I told Milner we should try. He texted me to see if I wanted to do it as like a special episode. We're going to give it a shot.
Okay. Well, July 16th.
16th.
We're doing specific ignorance. The guys from Three Guys On in the D.C. area.
At Beer Baron.
At Beer Baron in July. It just starts at 6:30 p.m. I may have to get a sitter. I may not.
It's like a game show format.
Work that out.
And we're going to attempt to record it and maybe put it out as like a special.
Are you going to have to get there early and try to set things up?
I'll just
do
that.
You don't like shit to not sound good.
I don't like scrambling. I'll do a trial run. But we'll figure it out. If we can't record it, we can't record it. But we'll try.
We're going to try.
If you're in the DC area and
you want to see us do something we know nothing about, come on out. We're going to give it a shot. I don't know exactly what this game show is. He tried to explain the format to me, but I was like, I don't understand. I'll just wing it. I'll just wing it once I'm there. I think on the night before, on the 15th, I'm at the Improv's open mic. Come hear me babble on some newer stuff, some older stuff. I don't know. DC Improv open mic. And then in August 13th, 14th, 15th, that's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I believe, I am at the DC Improv with Joey Diaz, Coco.
Oh, I love Joey Diaz.
So do I.
Saturday, July 18th. Hilarious. July 18th,
I'm going to try and interview him for the podcast.
I have a show in Leesburg, Virginia on July 18th, headlining, and I don't know the name of the venue at the moment, but I'll be in Leesburg on July 18th, Saturday. So there you go.
Who booked it?
I'll tell you later. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. Yeah, it's a Facebook booking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. See, this is why you got to be on Facebook. You get gigs. You get laid. Totally, man. It's great.
That was MySpace. MySpace was all about ass.
I never got laid off MySpace.
You didn't try. All right, people, listen.
That's also true. But
listen, people.
Do you want some cock?
That's Andy's opening line for everybody, by the way. That's how he comes at his wife.
Yeah. Four question marks.
She's sitting on the couch, just walks in there. Hey, you want some cock?
You want some cock?
That's how Andy gets at his wife.
And you know, it's got a good 30% success rate. So I'm happy with that.
It's pretty good. 103.
Dick has like 9%.
There you go. Yeah. So come on back on Monday, people. We'll be here for you guys. Be sure to send us your emails. Be sure to rate us on Stitcher, iTunes, anywhere you can rate us. Rate us. It helps. Rate the shit out of us. And thanks again for everything, and thanks again for listening to us. And as always, we love listening to you guys. We love that you guys like listening to us. And if you want us to come to your area, check out your local comedy club and tell them about us. Tell them to give us a listen. And ultimately, we do this because we want to do more stand-up. So that's ultimately why we do this.
Right.
They're just putting that out into the ether.
Yeah, we don't want to be at specific ignorance.
Yeah, but we're going to do it. Well, stand-up-y type
actually,
format.
Actually, we do. We said yes.
We do want to do it, so we're going to do it. All right, so we'll see you guys on Thursday. I'm Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
And Philippe Schaefer.
And we have three guys on, and we are out.
We lyrically rich, living spiritually fit, eating healthy, coming clean, never filthy. In God's eyes, I'm wealthy, felty power as I entered the palace of seven lights. Time travel, participate in no battles. My brethren fight for birthrights that they already got and shouldn't have to get. Break down the steady plot. It's accurate, bust a shot, that's immaculate. Take it to your nugget, cause my beloved covet. They freedom, believe it, put nothing above it. Love it, believe it. We blessed with free will, so we choose to be ill. Like sharks, keeping it moving, we could never be still. Swimming in channels of life, we orators the rhyme. Handling mics, tiptoeing through the corridors of your mind. With candlelights everlasting. In your hood like liquor stores and check cash. And niggas flashing, passing with some classes. Sipping thug passion, blasting Machiavelli 4. I bet on brothers with nothing to live for. To give more to the struggle, they already at war.
So much on my mind, I just can't recline. Last a hole to the